Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Welcome to That Android Show, episode Double Deuce 22. And this time, it's all about the Kit Kat. I'm JJ Metal from blindbargains.com.
I'm Axis Anna from the Accessible Android blog.
And I'm Steve, Talking Droid on Twitter and from Computer Room Services.
I'm sort of here, Joe Steinkamp, sort of breaking in from point to point. You may hear me later with all sorts of kitty cat news.
So. Yeah. Funny how production works there. So we have a lot of things coming up. The bulk of this episode is going to be all about Android 4.4. There are a couple really cool accessibility improvements, especially for those of you who like to use banking apps and a lot of the other online apps. And if you were having problems with them before, well, we may have some news for you. So stay tuned for that mailbag and everything else on episode 22 of That Android Show. We start out with the latest Android news. All right. Yes. Android 4.4 KitKat is here. And it actually is coming. We've been waiting a little bit on our Nexus devices, especially the Nexus 7s, for the download to show up. Actually popped up on the Verizon Moto X before Nexus 7 people were getting it, but now we have it. Steve has it on his phone, or on his tablet, I mean. I have the update downloaded. Google downloaded the update. I have not even installed it, but I'm going to do that while we're talking here, actually. And actually, let me just show you guys how simple this is to do. We'll see if this works. 3:15 p.m. So I unlock my phone. So there's a notification on my screen that says the update is downloaded. I'll let you hear that.
System update downloaded. Bluetooth disconnected.
So that's reading my notification. So I'm gonna take two fingers and drag it down from the top left corner of the screen.
System update downloaded. Bluetooth
disconnected. And swipe right until
3:15. Martina McBride, button 46.
Oh.
36. Bluetooth. System.
There it is.
Downloaded. Touch to install.
And double tap on there.
Updates. Android 4.4 system update.
Woo!
Downloaded and verified. Middle dot 242.5 megabytes.
242 megs, okay.
Restart and install.
Oops.
This software update will upgrade your Nexus 7 to Android 4.4 KitKat, which has a number of new features and improves performance. When you can't find the right words, express yourself with some of the hundreds of colorful emoji in the Google keyboard.
We'll talk about this.
Print documents and photos right from your Nexus 7 on a Google Cloud Print or HP Print printer. To find out more, visit http://www.
Anyway, so there's, you know, interesting. That's the first thing they highlight is emoji.
Restart and install button.
There we go. We're going to hit this. Restart and install. And
software update will upgrade your Nexus 7. Cancel install button.
And it's going. So there we go. We'll let that go. So meanwhile,
alert power off. Shutting down.
That's good. And it's going to restart my phone or my tablet. And then it doesn't get much simpler than that, really. It's been like this for the last couple of versions. And
yeah.
And then it comes back up talking, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't lose. You have to restore your settings or anything. Everything's just going to upgrade and come right over top. This was on a Nexus 7 2013 edition, but that's true for many of the, even the carrier phones, when they get updates, it pretty much works the same way.
Yeah, it's just exactly the same on my Nexus 7 2012. Mm-hmm. And I got it on Saturday. And
you got your the update over the weekend. See, we're going to talk a lot about this a lot more later, but just quickly, what's the thing that jumps out at you the most?
Webviews, which we talk about later on, but webviews are much more improved. It looks as though I had a bank app that was completely inaccessible, and now I can use it and it's completely accessible. So it's a complete
really
about
exciting.
Turn. And the bank didn't update the app, so it must be KitKat.
That's really exciting, definitely.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it works with Explore by Touch and swiping as well. So it really works well.
Do you have a Nexus 5 yet, or are you angling to get one?
No, I'm on the Santa's good list. So I'm hoping, I'm going to get one
better
for Christmas.
Better stay there.
My lovely wife is going to buy me one, but she's not going to let me have it until Christmas Day. So she'll get it and put it away. And
so
things.
We'll be able to get a good idea of how that differs from the 4. And if your audio microphone issues were solved or improved.
Well, we know they are actually, because I've spoken to someone that's got a Nexus 5 and the microphone is a lot better.
Oh, good.
So that's good. And I'm getting the 32 gig version.
Well, okay then.
Yeah.
We have a link to a Nexus 5 review in our show notes at thatandroidshow.com from Ars Technica. So you can get some early impressions from some people who have that's the flagship new phone. Of course, it's generally GSM-based here in the U.S. That doesn't, the rest of the world, that's fine. It's just, you know.
Sure. If you're on Verizon, you could just let that go and think about the Moto X.
But you can get a Moto X, which is interesting. Yeah. So there is a phone for Verizon that has 4.4. That kind of goes against the curve a little bit.
Can I just say, in the UK as well, the Moto G is now out.
That's true.
It's a very, very reasonably priced phone, about £135 SIM-free. And it's got 4.3 on it at the moment, but it's supposed to be getting KitKat in January.
That's a really cool phone. You've played with that a little bit. In fact, that's one that you're stocking, I believe, right?
Because we are selling it. Yeah, we will be selling it. Not quite at that price, but you know, because that's an exclusive for phones for you, I believe it is. But certainly until December, anyway, they've got the exclusive, and then other retailers can sell them.
Which is cool, though. If you buy it from wasn't very often that you could get a phone with also some built-in, you know, accessibility tech support there. So it's a
game changer, Jay, because if you think of the price of even the lowest spec iPhone that's currently available, you know, at £300 or £400, which is, you know, another accessible phone, and then Motorola comes in with a £130 phone, which is pretty good. It's only got 1 gig of RAM, but, you know, it's got a reasonable processor. Battery life, I'm told, is pretty awesome. So, yeah, I mean, you know, go Moto.
What is £135 in US dollars?
£135 British pounds sterling equals $217.96 US dollars.
That's not that bad.
That's not bad, is it?
Considering it's $175, I think, is what's been quoted in the States on import shops and the like. Yeah, that's about not bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, even the Nexus 5 is considerably cheaper than an unlocked iPhone, $350 for the lower-end version.
Yeah. And another thing, by the way, because it's before Christmas, as it were, Argos, which is a superstore in the UK, are doing the Nexus 7 2013 edition for £129.
What?
Is that do you have Black Friday over there?
Well, no, it's not a Black Friday thing. It's a sort of now until Christmas type thing, as I understand it. We do have Black Friday over here, and some people call it Black Friday, and things will happen like that.
Because you don't have Thanksgiving, right?
We don't, no.
Right.
No, but we do apparently have Black Friday.
You take the good parts. You take our good holidays.
We take the good parts, yeah.
Right. Thanksgiving has some good meals.
But 129 quid, you know, for a Nexus 7 is not bad.
So £135. So, you know, just over $200.
Yeah. And while we're in Tesco, while we're in holiday mood, Tesco, which is a British supermarket, are also doing a tablet called the Huddle, which is on 4.3, but we're promised KitKat soon, and it's £119, and it's a 10-inch tablet.
Now, is that stock, or is that a skinned version of
Android?
It's
not stock. It's skinned, but it is accessible, and the two-finger salute works to turn it on.
Oh, I wondered.
So, yeah.
We've also seen a pretty regular occurrence, Nexus 7 2013s in the U.S. for $199. We've put a couple of them up on blindbargains.com, and, of course, as they come out, that's a pretty common sale price at this point. Retail is at $230.
Yeah.
So $200 for the 7-inch new 7. If you're really, really on a budget and just wanted to get into KitKat, you can get the 2012 Nexus 7. A little bit slower, but still a good tablet.
Yeah.
A lot of times now in refurbs and just as extra stock for about $120.
Yeah, I've still got the 2012 Nexus.
It does have KitKat.
So, yeah, it does. Yep.
Yeah. So there's lots of ways to try Android on the cheap.
Absolutely.
And more than ever before, in fact, tablets are starting to outpass certain other operating systems out there. And I'm pointing to
not
one
only
in particular.
This is good for everyone, though. Really, I mean, okay, you could say yes, Android tablet sales are going to outpace the iPad, which they may. The market's just growing in general, though. There's going to be 500 million tablets sold per year by 2015.
Mm.
Yeah. So even if Apple loses and they only sell 100 million of them, I think they'll be okay. And you know, but tablets is where things are going, which is why, from an accessibility standpoint, we need to really now start focusing on those missing links, the word processing software that, you know, it's getting a little bit better, but we really need good interfaces for that.
Yeah.
Those things that are keeping us as assistive technology professionals from recommending tablets and a Braille display as a viable solution compared to a note taker. We got to figure out what are still those missing features and how can we fix that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's happening for sighted people as well. I mean, they're having to make the decision of do I do the Chromebook? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I stay with a PC? Do I, you know, do these hybrids where it's a Windows monitor, but when I detach it from this particular dock, now it's an Android tablet. Oh. So
wait, I think we have something here. We'll give it a second here. I think we're still loading up here. Seems to have switched back to Will again. So Will's another acapella voice.
Slide area. Slide area.
Slide area. Yes.
Danger, Will Slide Robinson.
Area. Unlock.
Unlock. Home.
Unlock.
Home screen 3. Search. Voice cert. Import from another line.
So this is not the default voice that comes with Android 4.4.
You're going to make me buy that now. That is just the novelty awesome voice. Feature alone.
Just imagine that doing GPS.
Folder, Google.
Google.
When possible, make a safe and legal U-turn. Yeah.
Home screen search.
We're trying to see if we can an app that has a web view.
Google.
Oh, what was that? Oh, there's no internet. Oh, well, whatever.
Google.
But anyway, so there you go. That's how simple the update was to Android 4.4. And of course, I'll play with it more after the show.
What if you did CyanogenMod? Would you do it from the Play Store?
I don't want CyanogenMod, but I know a lot of people do, especially those who can't do this update.
This is a Mike Arrigo question. This is flat out. Mike will write in and let us know.
He has 13 devices to test it on, so he can.
Definitely. So, Mike, let us know how this one-click install works from Google Play, from the Play Store. Also, if you have that Samsung app that lets you know that there are updates to all the other Samsung apps, and it's an app that comes from the Play Store, that's also something I'm interested in because Samsung devices are very complicated things in that you have. S this, S that, and then if you're looking for Google things and it's buried, you know, it's like behind the screen and over this wall. But there is an app out there for people who have Samsung devices who never go to the Samsung.
Their new social network app called SU.
Yes, that's pretty much.
Oh, wait, I don't think that really exists.
Just a few letters away.
I'm kind of bored with Samsung now because, I mean, my S3 is still on 4.1.2.
Well, they've had so many problems updating it, and they keep recalling it.
I don't recommend Samsung to anyone now because they are so slow at doing updates.
They had a big, since the last time we did this show, they had a big Tizen. Come join us on Tizen thing, and like 28 major developers showed up and pledged support. So I don't think that they'll walk away from Android soon, but it is definitely, you know, something that they play with everything. They play with Windows Phone, they play with Android, they play with Tizen now. So who knows what the future is with Samsung. But it is a different experience when you're using a Galaxy device. It's Android, but it is kind of heavily skinned.
We talked before. I mean, they're going to splinter at some point, we think.
It's Samdroid, isn't it?
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Just get a Nexus 5 or a Motorola.
Just get a Nexus 5. You know, yeah.
There's some good phones out there, and they're affordable.
I want one.
Now, even if you don't, now, even on your 4.1 phone there, the new Google Search update rolled out a couple weeks ago. And, more and more voice cards. They're doing some of that interactive stuff now, which works interestingly. For instance, you say, send a text message, and it'll come back and say, who do you want to send it to? You say the name, and it'll say, what do you want to say? Then it will say, here's your message, you want to send it. So it won't read it back to you, but it does show it up on the screen. The only quirk that I found to some of this is every time that you respond to a question, it's doing the Google search window on the side.
Yeah.
So that's, which I think slows things down a little bit there, but it does work.
Yeah, because TalkBack sometimes reads these bits in while the other voice is trying to speak, doesn't it? And that gets in the way as well. But, you know, by and large, it's good. I mean, if you compare it to that other operating system, if you compare it to Siri, when it doesn't know the answer to something and it doesn't say anything.
Well, I've always been a fan of the automatics. You know, why ask Would you like me to search the web? It just does it every single time. So in case that's what you can look over the search result. It's always there. Visually, especially, that's awesome because people will just scan down and see whatever they need to find and they're done.
Yeah.
That's another one of those advantages of things being rolled out separately from KitKat. That really wasn't a KitKat update. There might be a few things that are specific there, but the Google search update's out now for anything 4.1 and above.
And another one of those, just because you're on 4.1, you're not out of luck with Google services, all the decoupling.
Oh, no. Because more and more is becoming apps, aren't they, Joe? More and more being decoupled from the operating system.
Play Newsstand, that's a new app. That rolls down to earlier. I have not tried accessibility of this one yet.
We didn't talk about Newsstand in the main bit.
Yeah, it just started to roll out.
Newsstand is accessible, and it's really quite good. The only thing I don't know about Newsstand is how you can add your own RSS feeds, even if you can. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because
obviously they cut Reader, so this is part of the reason.
Well, it's also eating some of Currents. You can still use Google Currents, but this is also kind of a
I believe they're phasing out Currents. Was the last?
They're going to phase out Currents. It says it's a replacement for Currents when you first run it. But
Currents didn't last long.
It really is good. It is Michael Babcock, who's on the Ice Free list. He put up a YouTube video using Newsstand. And he encouraged me to have a look at it. And
we'll link to that in the show notes.
It's really cool.
Joe, find that video. Put it in the show notes.
Find that video, Joe.
Yes, Steve, send the video to me and I will put it in the show notes.
I'll see what I can do, Joe. But yeah, I mean, I've tried it and you just click on an item and it reads a whole item out. You don't have to go into web browsers and browse it and anything like that. You just touch the article and it reads it. And it's cool. It's good. It's simple and, nice.
And it doesn't change the interface like Currents did when I did a review of it and then it was gone like a month later. That was beautiful.
It was, yeah.
Some other accessibility stuff. So there's been a lot of talk on the Ice Free list about Swipe. Swipe is probably the most popular third-party Android keyboard out there. And they allegedly did some things to make their app more accessible, or by more, I mean at all.
I can't get excited about Swipe because the actual thing where, it's called Swipe because you can swipe. The idea is that you put your finger on the first letter of the keyboard that you want to enter and then you move your finger in gestures, slide gestures to each letter and then lift off at the end. So if you're doing THIS, you put your finger on the T and then slide right and then down slightly for the H and then up a bit for the I and so on. And that doesn't actually work with TalkBack. So I can't get too excited about this keyboard.
Right, they kind of made the accessibility more. They dumbed it down.
Yeah, kind of. What is nice about it, though, is you go into the keyboard. When it shows the keyboard, TalkBack says showing text keyboard. What it will do is it will say showing text keyboard lowercase. So you really get more of an inkling of what you're going to type in.
And it's a little more forgiving when you're lifting up from keys.
It is, it is that, certainly. As a keyboard, it's great. But
you didn't switch to it, though.
The bit I wanted doesn't work, so they can wait.
Well, of course, but it seems like they're interested. We can send them feedback. And
I hope they will get it to work. I wrote to Nuance and asked them and never got a reply.
A couple others we're going to talk about a little later on. There's an update for Google Wallet. I guess you can actually get a wallet card. That seems like, I don't know, that seems a little goofy to me, but hey, whatever you want.
Yeah.
For those of you who are still living in antiquated times,
right.
There is a card.
We'll talk about that. There's... Oh, the Google text-to-speech update. Ugh.
Yeah.
Have some thoughts on that, too, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
A couple things have to do with books and education. The Play for Education app store. Now, this is something that was talked about in the Google I.O. keynote back in the spring. And, really trying to tailor the experience for schools and offering apps and other things that really kind of help in that vein. Also, one that ends up being related, even though it's not specifically Android, there's been an ongoing spat between the Authors Guild and Google, who has digitized many millions of books. The NFB especially has been involved on the Google side of the issue. And the ruling has come down in favor of Google, so meaning the digital archive of books stands. So there's definitely some potential ramifications as far as making digital copies of books available. That would end up in the Google Books app at some point, perhaps. Obviously, there's going to be copyright issues and other things. But that is a potential big victory for us.
Yeah.
And we have links to all that in the show notes as well.
In the Joe notes.
Yeah. The Joe notes.
Yeah, the Joe notes.
I didn't respond. I heard, but I didn't respond.
You know, there's so much to cover, you know, and Joe does an awesome job. He gives us a list of about 174 stories that he wants us to cover in 14 minutes. And
that's the one, yeah.
We do our best. Yeah. I mean, Joe really does an awesome job on all of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But there's a lot going on. But the big news really is KitKat and Android 4.4. So
absolutely.
We're going to stay tuned. We're going to get right into that.
I'm very excited because I have a system update. That's my dog you hear in the background. She's excited too. I'm running Jelly Bean 4.3 on my Nexus 7 2012, and in a few minutes I will be running 4.4 KitKat. Let's go through the process together. The first thing I'm going to do is touch the notification bar so you can hear what the system update notification sounds like.
System update downloaded. Successfully updated Google Wallet Wi-Fi signal full. Battery 43%, 636.
Okay, the first thing you heard was system update downloaded. That means that my OTA, over the air, update is ready, and that I need to take steps to actually install the new version of the operating system. The last thing you noticed was that my battery level is at 43%. If battery level is low, less than 50%, the update won't happen. So before starting this recording, I plugged my device into an electrical outlet. Now I'm ready to begin and I can't wait. I'm going to touch apps.
Apps.
Scroll to the next page to get to settings.
Ideal Android Fox Browser v2.0. Apps page 203. Settings.
Scroll up.
Storage. Showing items 9 to 26 of 26.
The very last item on the screen is About Tablet. I'm going to tap that.
About tablet. Showing items 1 to 9 of 9.
Excellent. The first item is System Update.
System Updates.
Let's find out what the screen says. I'm going to swipe through it.
Android 4.4 System Update. Downloaded and verified. 185.3 megabytes. This software update will upgrade your Nexus 7 to Android 4.4, KitKat, which adds a number of new features and improves performance. When you can't find the right words, express yourself with some of the hundreds of colorful emoji in the Google keyboard. Print documents and photos right from your Nexus 7 on any Google Cloud Print or HP ePrint printer. To find out more, visit http://www.android.com/versions/kit-cat-4-4/index.html.
Now I can touch the lower right-hand corner of the screen to find the Restart and Install button, or I can simply swipe one more time and double tap.
Restart and Install button. Alert power off, shutting down.
The update takes about 10 minutes, so I've edited out a lot of dead air. You're going to hear my Brailleback chime.
Portrait. Screen off.
And about 30 seconds later, I heard the notification chime. I'm going to unlock the screen.
Slide area. Unlock. Device unlocked. Home screen 3.
Check notifications.
Wi-Fi 3 bars. Battery 49%. 658.
The system update download is gone. And I can check my version number in settings.
Settings. Showing items 1 to 19 of 27. Battery. Showing items 10 to 27 of 27.
About tablet.
About tablet. Showing items 1 to 9 of 9.
And in about phone, I'm going to explore down to Android version.
Legal information. FCC ID, IC, model number, Nexus 7, Android version, 4.4.
There we go, the update is complete. Within about 5 minutes of the KitKat update, QuickOffice and Google Drive also updated.
You're listening to That Android Show.
This one?
No, that one.
Oh. Yeah.
On the Serotalk Podcast Network.
Podcast Network. 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 Network.
Are you tired of browsing through thousands of sites just to find the news you want? What about recipes, shopping, radio stations? Wouldn't it be great if there was a single place where you could find all these things and a lot more? There is.
There is.
Discover Samnet with the widest and most complete content ever assembled for the blind community. And speaking of community, you can use Samnet's voice chat, instant messaging, and users forums to communicate with family, friends, and others who share your interests. To learn more about Samnet, please visit www.serotech.com. That's www.serotech.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-202-0520. We're Serotech, the accessibility anywhere people.
Bing, 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 pick up your phone. Bing, 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 pick up your phone. Bing, 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 pick up your phone. Bing, 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 pick up your phone.
All right, well, the big news is that we now have 4.4 KitKat, and those of us who have Nexus 7 tablets have it. And Steve, do you have it on a phone or do you only have it on a tablet?
No, I have it on a tablet, but I'm reliably informed by my lovely wife that she's buying me a Nexus 5 for Christmas. Isn't she lovely?
You are a very lucky, lucky man.
I am.
Okay, so let's talk about what KitKat has to offer. Now, we all got KitKat literally like 2 days before recording this, so we're still exploring and discovering. And so basically what you're getting is our initial impressions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through some of the highlights of an Ars Technica article, and then we're going to comment as the spirit moves us. All right. So one of the first impressive things about KitKat, and I personally think it's overall the biggest achievement, is that it's got lower memory usage, which means that the operating system itself has a smaller footprint, and it can run on lower-end devices. This is excellent for emerging markets, where you get these low-end phones, and people are still buying gingerbread phones. So hopefully we...
It's about time, yeah, because, you know, remember 2.3, and it was better than most people were making it out to be, and, you know, we used it.
Oh, totally.
We were, you know, some of the early adopters, but comparatively to now... It's crap.
Oh, yeah.
No better way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's really no excuse for people to still be selling these phones, and especially where accessibility comes in, and we've made so much progress, there's just no excuse. Of course, the irony is that this KitKat system, which has the smaller footprint, is right now running on high-end devices that can afford larger footprints. So we don't really know how it's going to perform, and we're going to stay tuned on that one.
The other irony of that is that the Galaxy Nexus is no longer supported, which is not a low-end device.
Yes, and that makes Anna very, very upset. She's still very cranky about that.
Apparently,
what do you think that is?
It's to do, apparently, with the TI chips, the Texas Instruments chips in there. Google is saying that they can't get the chips, so they don't make any more Nexuses, but they can't support them in future operating systems. That's how I understand it.
The company that made those chips for TI laid off those people, so they don't even have jobs anymore to be able to do the work, is what I had read.
Yeah,
I read something completely out of anybody's control. I mean,
yeah,
that's really unfortunate for anyone who bought.
Yeah, it's not Google saying we're not going to support the Nexus 4, the Galaxy Nexus anymore. They can't do it.
Yeah, no drivers, but it doesn't mean the modding community won't come to the rescue.
The modding community,
no, there'll be a CM for it one day.
Something going on with that.
A mod for it.
Yeah. All right, so the next thing that this article talks about is the visual presentation, and it's got a lot of details about the visuals on this. So it talks about transparent notification bar and larger icons. Now, all of us except Joe here are totals. So, Joe, what have you noticed visually about the new OS?
I agree with what the article points to here. It was a little weird to get used to some of the transparency that's involved. The issue with the icons is really kind of interesting because when you run your finger across it, you actually see the outline of wherever your focus is. So that's kind of new and interesting. Even if you're on the home screen, it kind of puts an outline around the home screen. If you go into general settings and you run your finger down, you have an outline of the individual sections as you're moving your finger down. And that jumped right out to me when I was using this. Colors for things like Google Now are still kind of the same. There's still a little bit of a dalliance in more whites than and brights than the darks that we had gotten used to in 2 and all the way up to 4. But for the most part, I don't think it's a big issue. Now, I don't run with magnification, so we'll have to ask Byron what he thinks of the magnification issues or improvements. But they did change that a little bit with gestures. But overall, I actually can see where focus and highlighting is a little better. And it's certainly not crazy icons or motion or flipping things in from the side or anything crazy like that. It is a difference, but it's not so noticeable that you don't feel like you're going to get motion sickness from it.
Well, my lovely friend Melanie, she uses Mag on Android, but unfortunately she's got, guess what, a Galaxy Nexus. So no KitKat for Melanie either. Shame, innit?
So the new highlighting features that magnification is providing in 4.4.
She hasn't got it, so right. She can't comment on that. Because, you know, I would have, if she'd had it as well as me, I would have asked her for a report. She hasn't got a Nexus, although she has got the Nexus 10, so I'll have to ask her if she's got KitKat on it yet.
Now, the next item on the list of features is connected with the home screen. Now, the reviewer was referring to a Nexus 5, and so this is a feature we've heard a lot about, but it didn't come through on my update of the Nexus 7. But basically, instead of the home screen we know, which has 5 pages and the main screen is page 3, you basically have 2 home pages. And if you swipe left, you get into Google Now, which is supposed to be always listening. I did not get that at all. I have my regular home screen.
Are you running the stock launcher?
I'm running the stock launcher.
You're running
yes.
the stock. Okay.
Yeah.
As I understand it, though, Anna, for the Nexus 7, the launcher is available as an APK, so you can install it.
Oh.
Oh, as an yes. APK? Where?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll have to see if it's better than Steve and I, who are using Nova. We'll have to see how that compares.
I'm not about to check it.
You're the one that talked me into it, and I haven't gone back since.
No, absolutely.
That actually leads back to one of the news stories that we had, where there are things in the launcher for the Nexus 5 that aren't necessarily in some of the things for the other Nexi devices. So it's Google kind of setting out, you know, wanting to have their flagships in certain areas. So the Nexus 5 being a flagship for Nexus, but Moto X being that way for Motorola.
So one of the features that this home screen is supposed to have is that if you long press a blank area of the home screen, you get into a widget screen. Again, I have the regular home screen. When I long press a blank area, I get into wallpapers and blah, blah, blah. Nothing to do with widgets. So my home screen didn't change at all. If you swipe left, you're supposed to get into Google Now, which is always listening. And again, I didn't get that at all. So,
which theoretically for us would be a two-finger swipe left.
Yeah.
Yes, but exactly.
Can I say at this point that always listening doesn't always listen while TalkBack is on?
Correct.
There is a bug in KitKat where if TalkBack is on, listening is not listening.
Yeah, and that exists across product lines.
Yes.
I heard it first on the Nexus 5, and then I had other people that I know on Twitter that got their Nexus 7 updates and were complaining about that. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of a known issue.
Yep.
Yeah, and kind of, yet again, let's use the word ironic, because I think we're more likely to want to use the voice input than other people. So who knows?
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. There is a new immersive mode, so in things like YouTube and playbooks, the full screen is taken up by the image, and if you want to access the controls, you can swipe up or down to do that. I like this. I think this is a good thing.
That makes a lot of sense for movies especially.
On the Droid 4 that we have, Jay, the buttons are always persistent on the right side. So I don't watch Netflix on my phone because I constantly can see those buttons there. And that just drives me insane. And so, yeah, to have that and not have something like a letterbox or something that's always drawing your eye to it instead of the content, fantastic. I'm thrilled.
Right. And once again, for those who are new, that'll be two finger swipe up and down for us, for anyone using
Right. And those of us who don't look at the screen, remember that there will not be controls on the screen until you do that swipe. So you got to remember how to play nice with this. Going on, email now looks like Gmail. I actually thought, darn, because I think email behaves a little better than the Gmail app. So one thing I was hoping and that I did not find, I was really, really hoping that the whole highlighting issue would get resolved in KitKat. So if you long press an email message, TalkBack plays a chime and says that it's long pressed. But when you explore the screen, it doesn't tell you it's highlighted. The programmer actually has to go in and do stuff to make that happen. And I was hoping that KitKat would sort of fix that system wide, but nope, still no announcement about something as being highlighted as you're exploring over it.
Can we all say Aquamail?
I know. That developer just
handles your email and your Gmail all in one app and forget it. You know, don't mess about.
Well, I mean, that was definitely accessibility-wise something that we got was embedded web views, and that was awesome to see in KitKat.
I want to talk about embedded web views whenever you want me to, because
let's talk about it now, because I think in terms of accessibility, that is the best ever improvement.
My bank app is, or was, and is in 4.4, in 4.3, completely inaccessible because you log in and they use embedded web browsers. So once you've typed in your username and password, you then have to select from three combo boxes of memorable characters from a code, if you like. And they are combo boxes and they're drop downs and you select. So you can't type in the characters. You have to select them. In 4.3, you couldn't even see them on the screen with TalkBack, whether it be by touch and explore or by swipe or by anything. It just said TSB, which is the name of the app, is all TalkBack would say. 4.4, that completely comes to life and I can log into my bank. Yahoo.
There are a lot of apps, you know, let's not understate this. Yeah. I don't think we are.
Yes.
There are a lot of apps that use web, you know, pretty much
yeah.
anybody who develops an app, or most people that develop an app for Android, and this is true for iOS as well, and they don't want to go through and do the native development for their app, they will pretty much take a website or web page, put it in a frame, and make an app out of it. That's how a lot of your smaller company apps are developed. And even some of the bigger ones. Pandora does a lot of this. A lot of the bank sites are doing this. Some of the airlines do this. And the biggest problem, or one of the biggest problems with swiping around, is the focus wouldn't match. You could swipe right or left, but when you try to double tap, it wouldn't activate what you had last swiped to.
Yeah.
So you actually had to find that spot on the screen. So that obviously made things really difficult. And of course, some things just wouldn't be navigable at all.
Yeah. But not only do these web views work, but they work with Explore by Touch, so you can actually feel where things are on the screen. So I know that the combo boxes are near the top left, so they work to that kind of precision.
So yeah, really cool. I noticed that even Gmail's a little better. Gmail is kind of a PETA in that you're swiping along and not always where TalkBack says you are, and I notice even that's improved a lot.
And even apps that just use embedded ads, and they'll maybe have a little web view in one corner of their screen, and sometimes you get stuck in that little view, and you know you have to fuss a little bit to get out of it. You know,
so
sometimes apps would just have parts, or like say documentation or an RSS reader that would open up a feed in an embedded web view. Those would have troubles before. You know, lots of apps that if you tried apps before and they didn't work, go back, try them again.
One place where you'll definitely notice it is on login screens. If you're using like a Twitter or Facebook client or something where log into an account, those were mostly not doable without sighted help. And now that's
the plume really is completely improved. Inaccessible pre KitKat, and now you can log in independently.
Yeah.
So again, it's great.
So I think for accessibility, this is definitely the top story. I think that blows everything else out of the water.
Mm.
So let's just keep going down this list, and then we'll talk about anything else that we notice so that jumps out.
But wait, there's more.
So one of the changes in KitKat that has gotten a lot of press is the new phone app. This time when you open the phone, you don't get the dialer. You get a search box in the top of your call log, basically. And so you would say the name of a business like, I don't know, Domino's Pizza, for example.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So I should have used them because I have it coming in a few minutes.
Exactly. So
now this is actually even better because when the phone rings as well, Google will look on its database and display the caller ID if it's a business.
And name the business exactly, not just some number in the city.
Now the previous version of this is you could go into Google Now voice search and you could say call Domino's Pizza and sometimes it would figure it out. But it makes a lot of sense just to integrate that straight into the phone app. You know, why have two separate interfaces going for the same thing?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And it's especially great when you're on the go. You know, sometimes my friends and I were out being wild women, you know, and we're
you got friends
at the bookstore or whatever, and we decide we want to go to dinner.
You do better than me.
Yeah. So we have to like take two or three steps to find that restaurant. So now it's just, you know, streamlined.
Yeah. Great.
Hangouts, this is another big thing that's gotten a lot of press, that messaging is now combined with Hangouts. I have not used this, so I have no comments.
Yeah, we need to find phone. Well, I guess you don't have to have a phone, do you, to do some messaging on Hangouts?
No, in fact, the very first time I discovered that you can message through Hangouts was a couple of versions ago. It was when I had my new Nexus 7 tablet, and I found that I could message with Hangouts if somebody is in my
Hangouts
contact.
Hangouts itself is one of the really cool accessibility stories. You know, I've used it several times. I mean, everything's labeled. It's really easy to lay out. You can switch between the front and rear cameras. You can do all that. You can mute your audio, your video.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really easy to do it. It's a very simple interface and everything's labeled like it should be.
And we've done a demo here on that Android show before, but I think it's worth kind of a review backwards to look at that and then see how it's changed to what it is now. And of course, you remember I called out to Ricky on an iPhone and we kind of did that back and forth. And
I remember that. Yeah.
It's been a while, but I think we should actually kind of revisit that a little bit after I think they're done, because I don't think they're done just yet.
Because SMS messages are now integrated into Hangouts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is what I like.
I haven't found out how to filter it. So, you know, you just get a list of messages in order. You can't just say, I want to see all SMS messages.
This is what I like about the Google products like Hangouts. You know, this is another one of those situations. You know, everything pretty much that Google develops that's new, they're coming out with iPhone and Android versions pretty much at the same time within a few. So you can call your iPhone friends.
I know people, when I was at the NFP Texas convention, I knew people who were actually using Google Search and Google Now on their iPhones and enjoying that because in, you know, some cases, some of them had Android devices and they could actually use both of them and have that port back and forth because it was cross-platform for exactly what JJ is saying. But a lot of that actually is in by design because Google is, of course, a search company. And some of those features to be exported out of Android make a lot of sense.
I actually heard Steve Wozniak say that Apple should work more with Google, which is interesting.
Definitely. Heresy, but true.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Because you can't do the same with FaceTime as you can with Hangouts. Hangouts is cross-platform.
Definitely. Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely. The next item on the list is the app picker. This is what I think of as the Android system screen. You know, like, let's say you have a link and you tap on it. Then you get a screen that asks you if you want to use Chrome or Firefox to open it. The description he has is mostly visual, but he does have an interesting tip. Basically, back in Ice Cream Sandwich, you would just say tap use once or always, and then you would tap your app, like Firefox, let's say. Then in Jelly Bean, there were two steps. You had to double tap Firefox and then double tap just once or always. Now in KitKat, it remembers which one you used last time, so that's already highlighted. And so if you remember that you use Firefox most of the time and you used it last time, you only have to tap just once or always.
Yeah, because before in Jelly Bean.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah, because in Jelly Bean, the just once and always is disabled until you tap one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't and just tap. Yeah. I see what you mean.
This is nice.
Yeah, but logging in at hotels is atrocious. And if that defaults to Firefox for me, because Chrome usually stinks with any of those hotel, you know, log in to use free Wi-Fi kind of things, I will be over the moon.
Yeah, but Chrome won't stink quite so much, Joe, because the web views are way improved.
Yeah.
So you should be able to log in with your Chrome as well.
It's funny because pre-KitKat, you know, Chrome works really great on Google Play and Firefox doesn't. Especially if you have to log into something like a beta. I don't
see how that
beta.
Would be a problem. Logging into Wi-Fi brings up your regular web. So if you do so it pops up a notification area, click here to log in. When I do that, it asks me the normal.
It does me too, yeah.
App picker.
Yeah.
So you should be able to pick Firefox. I was doing that over the weekend to log into a network.
Yeah.
I stay at defaults for a lot of testing. So I don't often do that because I have to actually play that for testing. But yeah, I go into Chrome and it's just atrocious.
Well, don't.
Yes, I agree.
Now, this next one, I know we have comments to make about accessibility, and it is the keyboard. The new keyboard has emoji, which is graphics instead of typographical symbols for emoticons, like smiley face, etc. Mm-hmm. And that's on the Google keyboard. They are not accessible. Have any of you tried them?
No.
You tap on this button that's in the lower right-hand corner. It says something like, I don't know, code bar 11 or something, just some really random thing.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest,
and when you
just
tap on
colon.
It, all you hear is button, button, button. And
are you using the Google keyboard, Steve, or have you switched to something else?
No, I'm still using Google keyboard, but I put colon right bracket for smileys and things like that.
I use words.
Because I know the second, I know the abbreviations, and it will still put the emoticons in for me. So you don't need these emojis anyway. So
what are you complaining about, Anna? Using language.
Well, welcome to my world, JJ.
It's a really cool thing. You should try it sometime.
Yeah, you know, some people like it. The other part of it is these emojis only work if the other person has the Google keyboard.
Well, and they should be labeled because then you want them to read too. And I'm guessing they'll read out
they should.
Here.
Yeah.
No,
well, and that goes along with how sometimes when you drill down in something, you find out that that's the part that's not necessarily labeled well.
That's probably a simple talkback fix. If each code is each one of those being read with a different number?
Yeah.
Probably.
Another number is consistent.
Because the same thing happens in Google Keep when you go to choose a color for your notes. And then
if the numbers are consistent or whatever, I think talkback should be able to fix that with their next version. Hopefully.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, I think Google should be able to.
Come to that. You could label them, Anna. There are only buttons, aren't they?
Well, TalkBack calls them buttons. The thing is, when I explored the screen, there were a lot, but I wouldn't say hordes and hordes of buttons. But when I had someone look at the screen, it sounded like there were more on the screen than
even
I
even if she labels them there, it doesn't solve the problem with them reading back.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
It should be done. It should be done.
Yeah. So. And some of these symbols are kind of random, like, you know, just squigglies and things like that. So
what do you call it? Squiggly?
Exactly, squiggly.
Well, and people have broken emoticons now to put in things like hamburgers and stuff. So, I mean, that whole art is broken now because you can actually make just about anything an emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just pictures. It's just not going to work.
I know some people will have comments on this next one, and that is the alarm clock. Now it uses that spit. Was it? Is it called a circular slider that is used
the wheel,
in the calendar?
Yeah.
Some people just hate that. I've gotten used to it, so I don't mind it. Basically, you double tap and hold, and then you can draw a circle and lift your finger
where
you want.
So it's just like you would for the global context, local context?
No, it's a little more. I think the circle is in a fixed place, and so you have to actually double tap somewhere in the middle of the circle. I find that it works better to put two fingers on the screen first, and then to draw the circle.
Call me old-fashioned, but just go into Google now and say, wake me up at 6:30 a.m.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Exactly what
agreed.
Are you set an alarm for? Do it with your
wholeheartedly.
Voice.
Wholeheartedly.
Well, it's hard. It's hard every day.
Well, the thing is, I'm really not sure why Google decided to do this. I mean, it's clever and trendy and blah, blah, but it's the other way.
Because another company has a great big Swiss clock that they licensed for a lot of money. That's why.
Yeah. But it's so much quicker.
This clock.
It's so much, million. It's so much quicker to do it with your voice, for goodness sake. Just do it.
Or to just type some freaking numbers into a freaking box.
Well, you can even type it up. Wake me up at, if you really want to do it that way, but that seems very interesting.
Exactly. Well, you can actually. You can do it in Google now. If you go in and type wake me up at 6 a.m., it'll set an alarm for you. So you can type your numbers in.
What you're
in
saying
as well.
Is set alarm by semaphore flag. I got you, Jay. That makes a lot of sense.
You can do lots of things.
Yeah, yeah, of course you can. Yeah.
You can ask it to what is the loneliest number, and it will tell you.
It's true. <Yeah.
laughs> And now that doesn't bother me. That there's so many ways to do it. It doesn't bother me.
Now, another thing that this article mentioned was downloads, and its description was nothing different from when I noticed when I go into the downloads folder, and that's things get downloaded and you double tap. Yeah. I found no difference.
Probably
at all.
Visually
so
maybe, different. Probably visually
maybe it just looks different. Sighted people get confused. I don't know. He also mentioned something called Documents, which is like a very basic file manager. I do not have that. I did not get it with my update. And he actually says that even though it's called Documents, it seems to only store pictures and videos.
Well, I've got QuickOffice on my Nexus 7 now. Have it until KitKat.
Yeah, because Google was pushing that.
Yeah. So it's actually in the ROM by the sound of it.
Yeah, they're pushing that. That's kind of their answer to iLife going free and Microsoft doing things with Office on like Windows RT. So they did that, and they did a bunch of Google Drive updates, and you could actually open up Gmail
not
attachments.
Not accessible, I'm assuming, Steve? QuickOffice?
Oh, no. QuickOffice is. In KitKat, it is.
It's accessible?
Well, accessible. Is it?
Yeah. Oh, well, great. It's kind of funny because if you touch the screen, I don't remember what my problem was, but it did read the screen, and I tried swiping, and it just didn't say anything, so I thought, oh, well, I guess we're not accessible. But then I changed granularity to word granularity, and I had no problem swiping, and I changed to character granularity, so it is accessible.
I think, you know, swiping is a very imprecise art in Google, and I recommend Explore by Touch Over Swipe any day of the week.
Oh, no, but when you're moving through the text, you need to either swipe or use the volume buttons.
Your entire document is one element.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should try that a little bit with the Bluetooth keyboard and see what kind of speech feedback you get there.
Yeah, that's my next plan. I had Braille back running, and I found that, I don't know if this is a coincidence or what the deal was, but I found that I was having a lot of issues with speech.
It seems that Braille back especially, and also to a lesser extent when you use arrows on a Bluetooth keyboard in a text field, they don't necessarily know how to give you the proper feedback. You know, like normally if we hit control right and left arrow in Windows or anywhere else, you expect to hear the word and you want it to show. So then if you go up and down arrow, you expect to hear the next line and those type of things.
Yeah, but I was having trouble. So I haven't really played with Braille back a lot with KitKat.
Here's the general issue. And it deals with Braille. And now that they've added the tools to do this, it's time that we ditch the old style having app developers set app focus and all the icon focus, all this stuff, and that we just go to a completely new keyboard interface that just matches the swipe gestures and everything else.
Yeah.
What we have right now is really antiquated. It's based on 1.6 and it hasn't been touched. And there are people using, you know, it's not just some legacy phones of keyboards. There are people that want to use Bluetooth keyboards and that would do it. You know, right and left arrow should just be next and previous element. It shouldn't be based on an order, you know, having to specify an order. They added in 4.3, you know, perhaps it's coming. This was definitely one of the things that was added in, I believe it was 4.3, where they added more of these API levels to handle these type of events. So it seems to me that those building blocks are coming in. At some point, we should see a new keyboard interface, and whether it's in a Play Store download or something else. Maybe it could be created now. I'm not sure if a third party could do it currently. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
You know, maybe because someone could create accessibility service for keyboards. That would be a really interesting project.
Thanks for the tip on QuickOffice. I know I shall look at it because I didn't think it was accessible. So
yeah, it is. It's I only played with it for a little bit, but I was happy that it was accessible, and it seemed a little different, but it was accessible. And so I wonder if that has anything to do with the web views.
I don't know if they're using a web view, but just the snappiness in general.
Yeah. Last two things that the article mentions are cloud printing. And so far, HP is the only printer manufacturer that seems to be totally tapped into this.
There is a section, though. It is under your settings, and it's above About Tablet. And that was like, oh, okay, printing. I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, that was a shock. He seems to think it's kind of clunky and, you know, step one of a longer process. I have not tried it. Have any of you tried it yet?
No.
No, yeah.
What's paper?
Yeah. I only had Kit Kats in Saturday. I have no chance to try it.
Yeah, it's what they wrap Kit Kats in, right? Is paper?
Yeah,
right?
That's what it is.
Okay, yeah.
The last item in the news has to do with Google Wallet. In the United States, carriers have been trying to push their own sort of pay with your phone method. And so now Google has included tap and pay on KitKat so you can use Google instead of the carrier's method. And so that's one of those subversive things I like Google for very much.
Like iBeacons, good luck with that.
They're expanding. Notice, though, at the same time, they're expanding Wallet outside of the tap-to-pay thing. They're doing loyalty cards now.
Yeah.
I got 500 Amtrak points for linking my Amtrak guest rewards to my Google Wallet. I really don't know what that does, but it gave me 500 points, so that was enough to get me to want to do it.
Well, yeah.
And that's another update that I believe the new interface we have back on all the way back to 4.1 Hangouts is coming back. So some of these will end up on the older 4.x branch of Android.
Yeah, but I think it's a pipe dream. I think it's a pipe dream with a lot like Passport for iOS. It's an uphill battle. That is such an entrenched thing with the retail community already. I mean, look how Square is unique. And that they were able to really kind of sort of make it very easy.
Yeah, the new Square update does a lot of stuff, by the way. Yeah. It's actually, and I'm not sure if this one addresses some of the accessibility stuff, but it's actually a really cool update.
I mean, I'm funny about money, and I don't like having to
link credit cards
or bank accounts to this app and that app and the other app. So
Reward cards is one thing. Loyalty cards, bank accounts. So yes, I definitely see bank account, credit card numbers. There's a lot of services that'll do that and they'll give you points for this or that. And sometimes you got to like see if these people are really reputable. Mm-hmm. Even the loyalty. Okay. For people who use loyalty and award cards often, there's already a couple services out there that have been popular before Apple or Google decided to jump on this. TripIt jumps to mind.
I
believe we reviewed way back a couple years ago. And, you know, that's what I use for my travel. It organizes all my itineraries and has all my loyalty, you know, that one, and an Award Wallet, which I think is another app that we may or may not have touched on here. That's another one where you can just bring up all your reward cards and it just has them keep all your balances and everything. So I don't need another app for that. I have that app does that well. I don't need an app that kind of does it okay in addition to it. The only reason I put Amtrak in there is because they gave me free points.
Yeah, but it also comes down to if you want to buy into the entire ecosystem, whether it be iOS or Android, the benefits are is that it's more tightly integrated. So if I get a hotel confirmation to Gmail, then that kind of populates Google Now, and then that kind of gives you the warnings. And
you can do that. That's fine. But, you know, I'd rather choose. I like to choose. I can forward the itineraries I want to an email address, and then it will lock in on them. And
Yeah.
Now, the last thing I think we should talk about in terms of KitKat, which was, of course, not mentioned in the article because people aren't as interested, and that is the new TTS.
Right, okay. Well, the quality, certainly of the UK TTS, the quality of the voice is good. It's louder than the male voice, so probably easier to hear for some people, and it's female, but it's absolute pants in terms of responsiveness. And I think a lot of problems that we think are talkback problems are problems with this TTS. Now, what I didn't understand is TV Raman posted that it was responsive. And I heard it on a Nexus 5 and I didn't even think it was responsive on that. So I don't know what he calls responsive. I don't. he hasn't obviously played with eSpeak or Acapella, which is much more responsive.
It ain't just broken in KitKat. That thing is broken in Jelly Bean too. Because
it's broken everywhere.
When I got that for my Droid 4, it caused phantom dialing. I was button dialing people because TalkBack was really acting strangely. And I was at a conference and I looked at my call log and I had called a whole bunch of people I hadn't intended to because my power button had come on and it just went crazy. It just went absolutely crazy going through my phone book and all sorts of stuff with just random touches and phantom movements. And when I went back to Avona beta, all of it was back to normal. It was just totally back to normal.
Well, I've spoken to a lot of people who say, give us the male voice back. You know, they want the male voice back.
But she sounds a little snooty. She sounds a little uppity in a way.
She's bossy. She's bossy. Yeah. You know. You know.
Like Neo Speech Kate. If you speed her up, she just sounds very cranky.
Well, I don't know. The TTS is. I don't find responsiveness issues on 4.2.2, but I do find them on KitKat and. But I don't know. I've had kind of weird speech issues, so I'm not sure if they're TalkBack. I'm not sure if they're the TTS.
Well,
what's happening for me on KitKat with the TTS is there are these long pauses, and they actually feel more like crashes than like lack of responsiveness. So I don't know what's going on.
But I'll tell you a funny story about the TTS, because we got the update to the TTS before KitKat.
Right.
You know, we've had the TTS for a while. And I was on my S3, which is still on 4.1.2. I was listening to podcasts and I had the thing plugged into my hi-fi and I was just sitting there listening to podcasts and all of a sudden it went, using Google TTS. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is this?
I've had that where I was reading something in Google Now, chose to do a search and it brought up the search pane. And when it saw a certain web view, it went from, you know, opening web view to search terms. Stop. Yeah, it jumped up like 500% in decibels. And regardless of whatever your settings were, regardless of whatever you were doing, if you swiped to certain web links, it just started yelling.
Yeah, but I mean, getting back, I suppose, to the point that you were talking about, and it is absolute pants. It's really not responsive at all. And they ought to be ashamed. Sorry, but come on, Google.
Yeah, and the worst part is, again, it's not exclusive to KitKat. It's downwards facing. It affects more than just that version of Android.
And it's ironic, isn't it, that KitKat is supposed to be optimized for lower spec machines.
That's the thing, exactly. But, you know, and so I know a lot of people on the list are saying, well, this voice, you know, it's not as attractive and it's got a lower sampling rate and blah, blah. I'm not a voice snob, so I don't really care, but it's, I do want my speech to be reliable and I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've got it here. I've got KitKat on my tablet. And if I move around, you see how responsive that is. That's a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way would the Google TTS keep up with that.
No, agreed.
You know.
And I don't know if that's because of some of the offline speech recognition that they're doing or some of the others. I mean, it's hard to say. But again, like anything, whether it be Windows 8.1, Mavericks, iOS 7, early adopters, you know, you're going to be, if you're downloading this and you want to be with the cool kids, you got to take the good with the bad, which is some of this stuff is going to be worked out as it ships.
Yeah, but it's the worst aspect of KitKat I've seen so far is the Google TTS, but it's not really a KitKat thing. It's because it's a separate app now, isn't it?
Right.
So if you're on 4.3, folks, and you don't like it, you just uninstall it and you're back to the male voice. Very nice.
Otherwise, get a cappella and buy a voice.
Or get a cappella and buy a voice,
I recommend Will from Afar. My favorite. I paid for it.
I work much better than Google TTS. That's not wrong.
I want to get him read like a Saturday Night Live, like the opening. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. The
musical
old
guest.
Well, the old Garrett Morris. The news for the hearing impaired is what that is, right? Our top story tonight.
I like Harry and Rosie, the little boy and girl in the UK. They're cute.
Yeah, I don't know that I could hear that for a really long time, though. The novelty factor wears kind of thin.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
Well, thanks, Anna, for giving us all going through that article. And we'll have, of course, link to the article at thatandroidshow.com.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
It's now time for the That Android Show mailbag. You've got mail. There's about 50 ways you can get a hold of us. I'll give you a few. ThatAndroidShow.com. ThatAndroidShow on Twitter. You can also leave an iReport through the iBlink radio app on your Android device or iOS. And you can email resources at CerotalK, CERotalk.com. You can leave us an iReport just like Frank did from Cleveland.
Hi, this is Frank from Cleveland, Ohio. I got a question about the Just Speak app I heard on the 21st edition of the Android Show. Do you need to have Google Mail with it? And do you put notes in the notes section in order to use the settings to bring your apps up or anything else? Big show. Take care.
So Just Speak, Frank wants to know, does he have to use Google Now? And can we use this with notes and doing things with notes?
Okay. There's something you need to understand about Just Speak. Google Now is kind of the search thing. On your keyboard, you have a voice dictate button, which is what you use for talking notes. You can also say note to self with Google Now, and it will keep a note. But Just Speak is really designed to control elements of your phone with your voice. It's not designed to take dictation. It's not designed to look up things on Google. It's designed to control things with your voice. For example, you can say open settings. You can then say, as another example, touch settings, touch accessibility, and various things like that. And it'll actually click them rather than you doing it with your fingers. Note also that the thing that you want to touch has to be physically on the screen for Just Speak to do it, because it searches the screen. So if, for example, you want to do settings and accessibility is on kind of page 3 of settings, it's right near the bottom, you have to say open settings, page down, touch accessibility. So Just Speak really is designed for people who can't handle the touch screen or have motor problems or things like that. It's not designed for writing notes, etc. That is the job of Google Now and the Dictate app. Hope that helps, Frank.
Any keyboard has that, just about any keyboard has that voice input thing right in the bottom left corner, just about.
Yeah. And it's still one of my very favorite No Doubt songs. Great song, Just Speak. Just saying.
Just Speak. Yeah.
Just Speak.
I like the song more in the app. And that's saying, I don't really like the song.
I'll tell you what, the funny thing about the app, I updated something on Play Store and it said, unfortunately, Just Speak has stopped. And it was updating, so it was totally unrelated to Just Speak. It was cracking. I really enjoyed it. It's still in beta, by the way.
It is. Yeah. Are you saying it should have said, fortunately, Just Speak? Thanks, folks, for your mailbag questions. I bet you will have a bigger one next time because of all the Nexus 7 and Android 4.4 questions.
Indeed.
What do we expect to hear? Well, I hope we did what we could to help fill you up on the latest Android news and KitKat and 4.4. I have it on my Nexus 7. I know actually we all do at this point, and it's really exciting to always play with the new version and uncover the latest treasures with Android. We've had a couple big updates this year, and of course there'll be more with TalkBack and everything else coming up, so definitely stay tuned to the future updates. Let us know what you think. Send us your questions, the things you want us to test out, and we'll be happy to do what we can. I'm JJ Metal. You can find me on blindbargains.com, and especially helping you getting some holiday deals, perhaps on a Nexus tablet or a phone.
And I'm Access Anna from the Accessible Android blog, http://accessibleandroid.wordpress.com.
And I'm Steve from Computer Room Services at www.comproom.co.uk, or you can follow me on Twitter at Talking Droid.
That's going to do it. See you next time.
Bye-bye. Droid.